Go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/online-therapy to get 20% off your first month of cognitive behavioural therapy, with weekly sessions online with a therapist, in addition to worksheets, a journal, meditation and yoga videos, and unlimited messaging. There's strong evidence that CBT can help people who hoard, and accessing therapy online can be affordable and accessible. Find out more and get your discount at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/online-therapy.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Welcome to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder podcast. I am drowning in stuff and trying to find a way out. Listen as I explore the issues and delve deep as somebody profoundly affected by hoarding disorder. Find out more, including links to subscribe to the podcast and all of my social media at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. Finally, I am not a doctor. I am just a hoarder doing her best. So do seek professional support if and when you need it. Hey, how are you? For Christmas and New Year, there are going to be replays of previous really popular episodes. So even if you've heard them before, have another re-listen and enjoy. And I will see you back in 2024. Welcome to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder podcast. I am drowning in stuff and trying to find a way out. Listen as I explore the issues and delve deep as somebody profoundly affected by hoarding disorder. Find out more, including links to subscribe to the podcast and all my social media at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. Finally, I am not a doctor. I'm just a hoarder doing her best. So do seek professional support if and when you need it. So I'm going to start today with a review I received. And the review is from I'm a Rebel 123. They said, Godsend. I wish I had found your show sooner. So very helpful in trying to understand an older relative's excessive hoarding over many decades, which only became worse after the death of a loved one. So eager to help, but so far they haven't let me. Thanks. Thank you. I too am a rebel. I'm glad your relative has you, even if they're not ready yet to accept your help. Just knowing you're there will be a comfort, even if they're not quite at the point where they can allow you to do what you want to do or what they need. So thank you for being for them, and thank you for leaving the review. Every time somebody leaves a review, it helps other people find the podcast, which is just great. So I'm going to start today with my occasional series in which I talk about my success of the week and my weird dilemma of the week. Now, my success of the week is also a thank you to listeners, because a while ago, my weird dilemma of the week was that I didn't know how to keep a note of which light bulb went with a lamp I had, and I was completely stuck. And what I ended up going with, I got so many listener suggestions, and what I ended up going with was sticking a note to the base of the lamp telling me which light bulb it needed. But today I had a similar dilemma, but I was able to resolve it in my brain instantly because of other suggestions that people made around the lamp. And what happened was fairly standard, boring. My printer ran out of ink. And the positive is, well, the first positive is that I had spares and knew where they were. But then I thought, okay, I'm going to need at some point to get more. How am I going to remember or find out which I need? And so based on all the helpful suggestions that came around the light bulb, what I did was I found the email receipt from when I bought the printer, because the printer helpfully doesn't say on it what model it is. So I found the email receipt and made a note of the model. And then from the packaging of the printer inks that I had spare, I made a note of which number, because you know what they're like. There's like, you go, oh, I'm going to need a Hewlett-Packard ink cartridge. I need black. And of course, there are 800 types of black Hewlett-Packard ink cartridge. I don't know why I went for Hewlett-Packard, because my printer is an Epson. Anyway, so I had those two pieces of information, my printer model and the printer cartridge secret code. And what I did was I emailed myself and I put in the name of the printer model, I put in the code of the cartridge, and then I put all the words I might search for when looking for that information in the future. So I put printer ink, cartridge, code, model, all of those things. And then just emailed it to myself, and I feel reasonably confident that when this lot of ink runs out, I will search my email and there it will be. So thank you and yay, because hopefully that will make a normally quite stressful task a little bit easier. My weird dilemma of the week was I was doing some sorting and I had this pile of clothes that I knew I definitely didn't want. Either they're just not really my style, or they definitely don't fit, or there's just something about them that means I don't want to wear them. And I have this pile, and I was thinking, okay, I've got this pile of clothes to donate. These were the clothes that were in a good enough condition to donate. But I've had this pile for a while. Why am I not donating these clothes? And I was confused because I genuinely feel fine about getting rid of them. I don't feel like anything in that pile is calling to me and saying, don't give me away. And so I couldn't work out why I couldn't get rid of them. And I've been kind of wondering it for a while, but not really getting anywhere. And I guess it's my weird revelation of the week as much as anything. I suddenly realised that while I was really happy to get rid of the clothes, or I would be, or I will be, what was holding me back was that I didn't want to give away any of my bags, and I would need a bag to put the clothes in to give them away.
Why?
If a bag is strong enough for a pile of clothes, then it feels like it's a decent bag, and I want decent bags in my life. If it's not strong enough for a pile of clothes, then it's no use. And of course, my first instinct was, I'd better buy some more bags then. And thankfully, I resisted that because I'm trying to not buy things to solve every dilemma. It just creates a different problem of its own. So what I've done, and it may work, it may not, I think it might though, is I just found a couple of my ugliest bags. Because often the reason I want to keep something is that it's pretty. And if I put my clothes in a pretty bag, I don't want to give away the pretty bag. So I had, in my ongoing like-with-like process, I had got a lot of kind of big, strong bags all in one place. And I just looked through them and found the two least pretty ones and put the pile of clothes to give away in those. It might do the trick, you know. This might be the thing that gets me to get those clothes out of the door and into the Oxfam shop. Other charity shops are available. So, yeah, weird dilemma / revelation of the week. Sometimes it's not the thing you're looking at that's causing the problem. So this week, I'm going to talk about what to do if you have to declutter in an emergency, in a rush, at speed. It might be that your landlord is doing an inspection. It might be that you've had a leak and it's going through to the flat below, so you need to let somebody in to fix it. It might be that your electricity has blown, but for some reason that has become unavoidable, you have to let somebody in and you are panicking. Now, this kind of situation, you can get a lot done when you're fueled by that kind of panic and adrenaline. It's horrible to go through. I don't recommend it. But that kind of fear can kick you into action. It's not sustainable if you try to de-hoard your home on an ongoing basis with that kind of fear pushing you. You'll burn out. You can't sustain that over a period of time. But if you have a few days or a week or two to get your home into some kind of shape, you have to use that fear and channel it. Now, it may be, if you're anything like me and at least one other person I know who I've been chatting to on Twitter DMs who did the same, when you are first faced with a reason to de-hoard in a rush, your initial reaction to that fear is to freeze entirely. You might just go to bed for a few days or just live in happy denial. That when I had to let the gas man in a month or two ago, that was my initial reaction. And hi to the other listener who had that same reaction to a similar situation. But what you need to do is realise you have to face the fact that this thing that's happening is going to happen. If social services want to come and check that your home is suitable for your children, if there's been a gas leak, any of these circumstances, it's not something you can wish away. So you might need an hour or two or a day or two to come to terms with the fact that it's going to happen and just, you know, maybe allow yourself to freak out for a bit. But then you need to hit the ground running, use that panic and use that adrenaline to de-hoard rather than turning it in on yourself or doing something more destructive like getting drunk or self-harm or anything like that. Something that can be really useful to do is find ways you can visualize what you need to do and the time you have. Now, that might be using timers or apps on your phone. It might be a big piece of paper with a timetable. What I did with the gas man was I divided every day into three, morning, afternoon and evening, and wrote down, say they're coming on a Thursday and it's Monday. Then you want to write down Monday evening, Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening. You get the idea. So then you have 10 boxes and you need to divide up what has to be done into those boxes. Once you've worked out that division, it will help you to be able to see at a glance how long you can spend on each part of your home. It will help you to see whether you need to speed up or whether you can take a break. It will help to make sure that you don't spend 2.5 days on the bedroom and leave yourself with half a day to do the bathroom, kitchen, hallway, all of that stuff. And just practicalities, wear clothes that are easy to move around in. Wear clothes that you don't mind sweating in. Wear clothes that it's okay if they get a bit dirty. You might be kneeling down on a dirty floor and cleaning things. You're certainly going to be shifting stuff around, whether that's bags or belongings. Don't wear your work clothes or anything that you wouldn't want to get spoiled. And get the things you'll need ready. That will be rubbish bags. It might be bags and boxes for putting things in. You might want some air freshener. You might want to wear latex gloves or rubber gloves. You might want to wear a face mask. You might want fly spray or insect spray. But don't spend a day and a half drawing up your plan and gathering together bags and boxes. You need those to start off with, but you don't need to spend loads and loads of time on them. And it's important to start with the tasks that will make the biggest difference. So that is probably going to be taking big rubbish bags out. It might be moving things out of your hallway, moving things out of the entranceway. Consider what things look like when somebody first walks in, what first impression they're going to have. But don't spend 3/4 of an hour going through a pile of photographs when a pile of photographs doesn't take up much space and you've got a room full of massive cardboard boxes. You've got to think about what's going to make the biggest impact. And listen to my episode on how to not get distracted. Your adrenaline and your sense of urgency will help you to focus, but this is not the time to dwell on one or two items if you've got hundreds of things to shift. And use short-term solutions if necessary, such as putting things into bags or boxes. Now, this is not great advice for regular de-hoarding. It's known as churn or churning when you just put things in one bag and move it to one side of the room and then move the bag to another room and then sort things from the bag into a box and it just things never leave, they just get moved around. This isn't regular de-hoarding. If you've got an urgent inspection coming up, it helps. Otherwise, I mean, it's just moving things. It's not de-hoarding. But what you're doing is buying time. And if that's what you need to do, do it. This is a different situation to how things are if you're doing systematic, sustained de-hoarding. If a pile of stuff would look better in a box, stick it in a box.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And focus on the areas that matter most. Like when I had the gas man coming, I cleared the entranceway and the hallway and the part of the kitchen where the gas boiler is. That was what mattered. It didn't matter what my bedroom looked like. If somebody is going to need to access a particular area of your home, focus on that area and the path from the front door to that area. If somebody needs to fix the toilet, then clear the area that leads to the toilet and clear the bathroom itself. Don't focus on the stuff that takes up little space or doesn't look particularly bad. You need to make an impact on your surroundings. If it's a landlord inspection in particular, or if social services or child protection services are visiting, focus. I mean, this is always a good idea, but for those circumstances in particular, focus on making things hygienic first. Get rid of food that's rotting. Make sure dishes are clean. Get rid of things that most people would consider to be obvious trash. I hate to say it, but this isn't the time to agonize over things that most people would consider trash. It's the time to be ruthless, be a bit brutal. If you've got rats or insects or any other kind of pest, clear up any droppings, clear up nests, clear up any dead bodies of things. Whoever's coming might leave your house thinking you're messy, but you don't want them to leave your house, if at all possible, thinking that there's no hygiene. Don't let yourself just panic and fling things around. We've all done it. Take a breath. Consider what you need to do. Take a moment to plan. Sometimes you can channel that panic into action. Sometimes it's counterproductive and you need to take a step back, step outside, get some fresh air, or go and wash your face or do something else for a bit. Not for hours. You don't have time, but you also don't want to be making it worse. So when it all gets too much, step back and vary what you're doing. It's really hard to do this for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, especially over a period of days or weeks. It's really hard. So try and mix it up. Even if you're going to be de-hoarding all day, maybe do a couple of hours in one room, then a couple of hours in a different room. If you get sick of cleaning the kitchen, switch to the bathroom. If you get sick of sorting, do some physical stuff like getting bags out of the door. You can also vary what's accompanying you as you work. Quite often for me, I like peppy music as I de-hoard. But if I'm de-hoarding in a hurry, in a panic, because somebody's coming, and so I'm doing it for hours and hours and hours, even I get sick of 70s girl bands. So listen to different types of music, or switch from music to podcasts, to audiobooks, to the radio. Keep things varied so that you don't feel quite as much at the end of the day like you've just sat in one spot listening to one kind of music, sorting through one kind of thing. Just makes it a bit more bearable. Now, I know this next idea is impossible for many, and it's very complex for even more. But if you can enlist help, then do enlist help. If you've got people in your life who are willing and available, let them help. If you can pay a professional organiser or even a hoarding clearance team, which I did once, I will do an episode on that one day. It wasn't a great experience, but it did achieve the temporary goal. But don't even think about manipulating or bullying somebody into helping. Don't be passive aggressive about it. If somebody's not keen or not available, you know, don't try and make them come. This especially applies to children, whether they're your adult children or still under 16. If they offer to help, then that's brilliant. But they shouldn't be expected to. If children grow up in a hoard, they can't be expected to solve the problem that almost certainly oppressed them during their childhood. When you are flagging, keep focused on your goal. In these circumstances, you've got a very specific goal, and that can be helpful, actually. Your goal is to let the glazier get to the window, or to let the plumber get to the pipes, or to let the estate agent look in every room of your home and not be horrified. You're unlikely. I mean, I don't know the state of your home, but I know enough to know that it's not very likely that you're going to have a pristine home by by the time the inspectors come. But you can make it as least bad as possible and try and not horrify them. I'm not laughing at you. I'm absolutely laughing at my own many experiences. You might find that you start to get fixated on one item or one set of items. And if that happens, in my experience, I would say that means it's time to switch to a different task. Switch to a different part of the room, switch to a different room in the house, switch to a different type of task. If you've been sorting, then try putting stuff in the washing machine. If you've been washing up, then try going through a pile of clothes. Mix it up. It can be a good way to redirect your focus if you're getting really fixated on a particular thing. In these circumstances, I mean, that can be a problem in regular de-hoarding, but in these circumstances in particular, you just do not have time to contemplate. You don't have time to give everything the attention you might wish you could. You're also going to have to be more ruthless than you're used to. This is not the time to start listing things on eBay. It's not the time to start researching how much secondhand books go for on Amazon so you can decide whether to donate or sell them. If you can throw things out, or if you can have people from Freecycle or Facebook Marketplace pick them up, even though you're giving them away for free, do this. Let people come to your home and take your stuff with your permission. Give them permission. There are times you can take your time. This isn't one of them. If you've got a driveway, it all depends on where you live and what your home is like. You know, if you live in a upstairs apartment in New York City, this isn't an option. If you live in a spacious, detached house in the middle of the countryside, it probably is an option. But if you have that space on a driveway, consider hiring a skip. It can be a really effective way of getting a lot of things out of the house quickly. And quite cathartic, I imagine, to just throw it all out there. And when you're going through your things, one of the ways you can try and prevent that panicked flinging that I mentioned before is to focus on one thing at a time. Even if it's for a second or two per item, don't look at the entire room or the entire house, because if you're me, or anything like me, you'll freeze and go, this is an impossible task, why am I even trying, this is a nightmare, I can't do it. And then you'll either freeze or you'll start flinging. Neither of those help. One thing at a time, quickly. One quick thing at a quick time. But if you're overwhelmed, one thing at a time. And equally and opposite, don't overthink. That's also when you'll freak out. If you start over-considering every item, or if you start overthinking how big the task is, it is a big task, but thinking about it at this stage is not what you need. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. It's one of those one foot in front of the other situations. And in this case, it's kind of one bag after the other. Out, out, out. Sort, sort, sort. Gone, gone, gone. It's not the time. It's not the time. I know it's horrible. I'm saying this as if it's easy. And it is not easy. It is so hard. It is so hard. And I know when I periodically find myself in those situations, I wish I had some kind of guide on how to get through. And that's what's motivated this episode. And I hope this episode can serve as that for you, because it is really, really hard. But remember, you're unlikely to have a perfect home by the time they come. But what you want is a home that shows progress, and an attitude that shows you're determined and will continue to make improvements on an ongoing basis. And you need to have that attitude, and you need them to see that you've got that attitude. You might find that you have to agree to things like maybe more regular inspections, like you might have to agree to go to therapy. You might have to agree to whatever reassures them. And if what they want you to agree to is in any way reasonable, agree to it. You've just got to get through this. You've got to agree to the conditions. You've got to agree to the conditions they impose, which may actually help you. Quarterly inspections rather than annual ones might keep you on your toes. It might be good, even if it feels like the worst idea in the world. Essentially, what you've got to show them is that your home is not a hazard, either to your health, or a hazard to your neighbours, or a hazard to firefighters or ambulance crew who might need to come in, or a hazard to your children, or a hazard to your elderly parents or your partner. If you can say, look, I know this isn't ideal. I am working on it. I know it's not as good as it should be. Let's come to a plan. And if they feel like they're not leaving you or somebody else in danger, often they'll work with you. Whether that's your landlord who can't be bothered going through the process of evicting somebody, whether it's social services who want to support you, as long as you're showing initiative, it can be turned into a, if not a positive, then something constructive. And always just breathe, breathe, breathe. Are your shoulders round your ears? Are you biting your tongue? Are you tense? Breathe. Because it's going to happen. You might hate it. You might well hate it. You might hate the build up to it. You might hate the event itself. But it's going to happen and you have to get through it. And all you can do is do your best to make it as minimally unpleasant as possible. After they've left, give yourself a break. I don't mean never declutter again. Something I talked about in last week's episode was about trying to not see dehoarding as a punishment. And this applies here as well. Don't react to a probably unpleasant period of urgent panic decluttering. Don't react to that by saying, ha ha, I will never do that again. That's not what this is about. But taking a break, breathe, have a bath, let yourself sleep in, and then plan for a longer term, more strategic dehoarding that's not based on adrenaline and fear, but is based on wanting things to be different in the way you live. While to some degree you have to get through that panicked state by using your adrenaline, afterwards, remind yourself of how horrible the panic was and use that to just nudge yourself to make a more gentle but more ongoing plan to try and improve things more gradually but in a more sustainable way. In just one second, I'll give you my top tip of the week. In the meantime, please do subscribe to the podcast, review it, 5 stars would be amazing, and share it with your friends or anyone who might be interested or who might benefit from it. It all really helps. To find more ways to support the website, the podcast, and my overall dehoarding project, go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support. Now, back to your top tip. And my top tip this week is from Shauna Turner. I think it's pronounced, well, I'm guessing it's pronounced Shauna. It's S-E-A-N-A. And her Twitter account is The Shauna Method. And it's just a quote. And the quote is, wisdom is doing now what you will be satisfied with later. Okay, thank you for listening, and I will speak to you next time. Thank you for listening to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding podcast. You can find more online at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. You can find me on Twitter at ThatHoarder and on Facebook Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder. To find out more about how you can support this podcast and the overall project, go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support and do subscribe to this podcast so you make sure you don't miss any future episodes.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to The Future Forecast, a podcast where we explore the intersection between business, technology, and entertainment. My name is Boye Okolade, and I'm the co-founder and president of The Future Party, which is a community-based media company for creative professionals. We have a daily newsletter about culture and technology, and we also host a ton of different community events around the country. At The Future Party, we wanted to create this show where my co-host Chris Sautel and I are able to talk about some of the week's most interesting stories and dissect them from the perspective of two business owners with ties to the tech and entertainment industries. Future Forecast is brought to you by Wheelhouse DNA and Acast. New episodes will be released every Thursday. Check them out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.